Hola sobrinos, it's your favorite auntie, Tia Maria. This is the Café y Consejos podcast. Each week, I sit for a cup of coffee with a new guest as we talk coffee and anything and everything under the umbrella, and maybe even a little chisme. So grab a cup and let's chat. In this week's episode, I sit with Alicia and Sange from It's Pronounced podcast, and we discuss toxic relationships and everything bling empire.
All right, cool. So how's everyone doing?
We're chilling.
Sange and I both woke up from a nap at a very similar time in the day. So we're just, we're feeling chill. But yeah, that's where I'm
nice.
At.
Nice. So what time is it over there where you guys are?
It's about 5 right now.
Oh my God. It's 8 p.m. here.
Oh.
I'm in Philadelphia.
Well, I'm glad we're joining you on your little evening here. You're looking ravishing, hence why we're here.
In honor of the topic, I wore my most expensive bling today. My most expensive necklace. It's the one, it's only one of a kind, you know? So okay, I'll have a link. Through. I'll have a link of my paparazzi dealer in my profile.
Not your dealer.
My paparazzi representative. The most expensive bling I have.
Dang, Maria, you're making me want to grab some hoops and stuff right now. So
I know. I'm like, should I go get one of my necklaces? Not before somebody calls it costume jewelry. Hold on. I mean, it needs to be said, you know.
Yeah, so I'm so excited. So you have your coffee?
I have it's not a coffee today. I do have a ginger ale. Ooh. You have your coffee. That's
I
tea.
Always
I was
have
gonna say, you don't drink coffee.
It's definitely tea.
Okay, so yeah, I have my coffee. I have my most expensive coffee again in honor of Everything Bling Empire. I got this at the Dollar Tree today. Put some vanilla extract imitation.
Ooh, but, all out.
I know, it'd be fancy, you know? Just gonna spend the big bucks. So, yeah, so Bling Empire. So just a little bit like disclaimer or spoiler alert for everyone who has not seen it. Now would be a good time to pause and go see it and come back, or just keep listening. So, oh my gosh. So, Bling Empire, it's on Netflix, and it's all about just pretty much filthy rich Asians living the life in California. So, LA, I think.
Yeah.
LA, living the LA life, man. So I discovered it actually, it was just one weekend, like in the middle of the night around this time, I just needed some mindless viewing, right? And I was just expecting to just watch one episode. Girl, I watched the entire season in one night. I didn't go to bed till like 3 a.m.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. That's so impressive. Good work.
I couldn't. Like, so, you know, the topic is Bling Empire and, of course, toxic relationships, because the couple that really just got me talking, yelling at my screen is Kelly and the Red Power Ranger.
Our boy, Andrew.
First of all, I come from the school of the original Red Power Ranger. So I didn't know who this new Power Ranger was. When she said Red Power Ranger, I'm like, what? That's not my Red Power Ranger. So shout out to all my old school heads who know what I'm talking about.
Well, I had to look up myself too, because I was like, the way that I remember like the Mighty Morphin situation is not who I remember as the Red Power Ranger. You look a little bit young, but hey, we got a new Red Power Ranger in our midst, I guess.
I guess so. I've been out of that school for a long time. Without aging
Sad to say,
myself.
I didn't even know. I was like, okay, yeah, this is just a nickname for him, just the Red Power Ranger. Like, all right, cool, we'll go with it. But I was like super taken aback because episode one is when we're introduced to him just like being who he is. And I was like, whoa, 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 I came here to watch rich people be rich, not this.
Yes, not. I didn't come here to get traumatized in the meantime. But yeah, so just a little background. So the cast, we have Kelly, Kim, Anna, who I love, Christine and Dr. Chu, Jamie, she's so cute. Cherie and Jesse, I love them. Kevin, representing Philly, Kane, and of course Guy, who's not in it a lot, but I've been following Guy on Instagram since way before I discovered he was on Bling Empire. So when I saw that he was
Oh,
on, I
word.
was even more like, oh yeah, I'm watching. So yeah, that first episode, just to give a background, Kelly is a businesswoman, entrepreneur, intelligent, beautiful. And I looked it up, her net worth is $5 million. The Red Power Ranger is a net worth of $2 million. So, I mean, he probably shops at Nordstrom Rack like everyone else.
The way that I can't even fathom $5 or $2 million, let alone, yeah, there's just no way.
But isn't it that one of them lives in an apartment that's like $19,000 a month? Like, I think
That's
that that was
Jamie.
named. Yeah, and
Yeah,
I'm just like,
Jamie.
19 grand a month? Are you kidding? Why would you like
Someone's
pay to
annual
rent
salary.
that? Yes.
I can't fathom, I can't. So besides being the Red Ranger, Andrew is also a music manager of, I guess, artists that we don't know, and a model. So that's what he does as well. So it started when Anna took her out, right? Anna took her to Paris on for her birthday.
Let me get some friends like that. For real,
I
though.
need my friends need to step up. Like, seriously, what are you doing? I can't. I feel fancy when I treat them out to lunch. I got me balling. I'm like, don't worry, I got that drink for you.
I'll go
Order
for that
whatever you
soda.
like.
So Kelly decided to let Andrew take a nap and go shopping with Anna. Let me sleep. And he decided to get angry. I get angry when people wake me up. Of all things to get angry over.
Let me just say, I know even going from the East Coast to the West Coast, I used to live in New York and I traveled back and forth a bunch from the West Coast. Jet lag is just not my friend. And so when she shares, I wanted him to sleep because jet lag is a thing. I'm like, wow, what a responsive, what a caring partner. And then fast forward to when he calls her, and I was like, all right, we're not doing this. 100% cannot. And that's our first impression of him. So, the producers knew what they were doing, right? Like, they were just like, let us
Oh,
show
yeah.
this side of him.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Totally. It's crazy. I mean, I'm upset when people wake me up. First of all, the feeling that I got was what I noticed was when he was talking about how he expects her to react to her trip to Paris and the birthday, how she was going to be so happy with him. I'm like, first of all, you're not taking her out to Paris. Anna is.
That
Like, I
part
felt
right
like it was
there.
all about him. It was all about how he's going to look like the superhero to Anna. Ooh, girl, I couldn't. I was just yelling. I was like, I can't. I don't know. What were you feeling, Sange, when you saw or heard that phone call to Kelly?
Oh my gosh, my first response was just like I like physically pulled back because I felt like I was getting yelled at, and I was also confused. I was like, why are you mad? Like, I genuinely didn't understand the rationale behind his response. Like, so you're mad because your girlfriend was invited to Paris by her friend for her birthday weekend, and she decided to go and enjoy that weekend with her friend and let you sleep because you were clearly tired? Like, I don't, what about that makes sense? And every part of his argument was like, you should have woken me up, you should have told me. Like, it's really, it's not that big of a deal, sir.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Like, exactly, like Anna, it was Anna's treat. She let you tag along. It's not about you. It was Kelly's birthday. And it's the one thing, because that girl, I did my research. I've got signs of toxic relationships. It's one of the things that they make you feel like you are, like they're the victim in the situation and you're doing it to them. So I was immediately triggered. I got so angry. I was like, I can't believe she's doing this. She's going back to him. Every time they showed him in like any scene, I was immediately like, just turned off. I'm like, all right. Like, I just couldn't deal.
The thing that was the most triggering for me is when he was like, would you want me to do this to you? Yes or no? And then like there's context that's necessary to answer that question. It's not a yes or no. And like for you to try to manipulate that situation to be like screaming at her like yes or no. And I'm like, absolutely not. There's no possible way to come back from that for me. Like I'm like, yeah, we're done. We're never talking after that. But for her, I don't know. It's really sad. Like you see Kelly go through these cycles and she even tells herself that she's going through these cycles and she's still with him. That's wild to me. That's so wild to me.
Yeah, that's the thing that like really upset me, I think, about them is like we got an inside look at like what their couples therapy sessions looked like because like we're taken into that. We hear Kelly having these revelations of like, yeah, this is a bad cycle. Here's how it goes every single time without fail. We have a bad fight, we break up, we work things out, we get back together. Every single time, this is how it goes. And then, you know, spoiler alert here, but then you look at the Where Are They Now video that Netflix just released, mm-hmm. and they're back together. And it's like, and you hear Kelly saying, well, honestly, like, that's our private life and that's nobody's business. And so, like, we're just going to keep doing what works for us. And it really was hard to watch because you could see, like, physically she looked uncomfortable being with him. And I wonder, it made me wonder if there was, like, there's, like, something he has over her that's keeping her there. That's, like, she's afraid to leave for some reason.
Yeah, because that's a flashback to one of the episodes where he says, like, well, when people ask you about Paris, what do you say? And she's like, well, I tell them what happened because that's the truth. And he was like, what you need to say is that's our business. Don't say anything. So to hear her repeat that same thing, I thought the very same thing, Sangay, where I was just like, oh, this is like a manipulative situation. Like something is going on behind closed doors, whatever, where like she's at a point where she's just like mimicking the things that he's saying, and that's just heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking to see.
Yeah, it is. And it's just what happens when two individuals have unhealed trauma decide to go into a relationship, and it creates a codependency, and they only bond on the basis of that trauma that they go through. So you have Kelly, who came from a marriage where she didn't even know the person she was sleeping next to was this horrible criminal. And Andrew, who has mommy and daddy issues of abandonment with whatever issues he has with his family. So the therapist called him on it. Like he's creating that same situation every time she leaves him. And he goes through that abandonment all over again. With Kelly, you know, she's always saying, well, I know that he doesn't go out. He's loyal. I know this, I know that about him. So she's protecting herself from having to go through another trauma with what she went through with her first marriage. And she's just settling for that when she really deserves so much more. And the reason that the friends are invested because they visually, like, well, Anna did, witnessed her being verbally attacked. You know, I mean, and then all the viewers, we all went through, that was a collective trauma we went through. Like, that was strong. Those words, that energy that came through over that phone, girl, I was triggered. Like, it triggered me, you know? So if I was triggered, there are a lot of people who I'm sure would have had traumatic relationships and survived out of a toxic relationship were probably triggered themselves and immediately saw the signs. The one thing that I noticed, this is like in the last episode, that smirk that he had on his face when she showed up at his door. Because that was a smirk of, yeah, yeah, I know you're coming back. And that, oh my God, I was so lit. I was so angry. I couldn't deal with it. Like, I can't. And then you're right. When I saw the Netflix after the show episode special thing, and she said that, I was like, oh Lord, I can't. Because I immediately went on Instagram to see if they were still together. Like, and of course, obviously Instagram, their pages were not showing anything at all. But when you sign up for these types of things, your audience is going to want to, you know, you're viewing your life. Like, we're going to be part of it. Like, we're invested already. We're like one, two, I don't know how many episodes it was. I think eight episodes invested now. So of course, you're going to get those questions. Are you still together? And of course, your friends are going to ask you what's going on because they're concerned for her. Because they know it's not healthy. So I did a few research. I did a little research and reached out to some of my other therapist friends. Signs of toxic relationships. Number one, they don't respect your boundaries, which what Kelly did when they... you know, they went to therapy. They said, if this happens again, this is what we're going to do, right? And what was it? I think they were in a recording studio. And she walks away. She's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to walk away. And we're going to separate and then come back. And then he came back. Was it they came back and they were back together again. Like, what was the scene after that? I can't remember.
I remember it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sangay. I remember it that they went to therapy after, and they were basically just saying, like, the same things continue. Like, we just keep fighting. And so that's when they had to, like, separate them. Does that sound right, Sangay?
Yeah. And then that was when she and the therapist sat down and were making, like, an escape plan, it sounded like, right? And they, like, had Andrew step out of the room because, I mean, like, this is what I was talking about earlier. You could see, like, physically that Kelly was, like, she's fidgeting with her fingers. Like, she wouldn't look him in the eyes. Like, it was hard for her to say what she needed, which was to not be in the same house as him. And probably because she was scared that something might happen. Like, having been in positions, not in dating relationships, but been in positions where somebody might be yelling at you and be that close to your face, like, you don't know if it's going to become physical. And so I imagine that in addition to, like, any emotional hurt that she's feeling, she's probably also feeling physically threatened with him being that close to her as he's yelling at her or, like, chasing her when she leaves the recording studio, for instance. Like, I would imagine that she's afraid for her life, and we also don't know what's happening when the cameras aren't rolling, so perhaps something else has happened that we aren't privy to.
I feel like the therapist, you know, kind of gives hints to that, where she's like, I'm concerned that I don't know what's going to happen after this. Like, do you have a place to stay? Like, I, and coming from, you know, my experience, like, I've been in that situation where I've asked like my friends those questions because I'm concerned about what's going to happen. And it's very terrifying to be on that end because at the end of the day, they have to do it themselves, which is so difficult because you find yourself like screaming at the TV, like you were saying earlier, Maria, like at Kelly and like upset at Andrew. But at the end of the day, it's like, you're going to have to make that decision. And it's just hard to see that when people don't do it, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. And I mean, I love the fact that, thank goodness that the therapist called it, because I was watching it and my nurse brain was immediately going like, she needs to get the hell out of there. Like, you need to do something. And she did. And what really bothered me is when they finally then got back together, because I guess what, they have custody over a dog. I mean, girl, I can't.
That really irritated me because you can, like, anyone can take care of a dog. And if you really miss your dog that badly, get another dog. I don't know. That's just me personally. Like, there's no reason that you should need to reconnect with this person who you've already identified is not a good person to be in your life. Even if it's about a dog, then ask a friend to do the dog swap for you. Like, honestly, if the dog matters that much, ask a friend. Don't miss me with this whole, well, we adopted the dog together, and so we have joint custody of the, no, not at all.
Absolutely, positively not, because it was also manipulative when he was like, I just want to be the best father. I was like, to who? And then I was like, oh, the dog? You're absolutely not. Nope, cut it out.
I couldn't. He used the dog to get in, to get back into her safe space and break her down. And then he hit her with the novela kiss. And that's when I almost threw up. And I was just like, I can't believe she's falling for this bullshit. But it's a normal reaction for someone who's gone through so much trauma, because that's the only thing that they see as a true love when it really isn't,
right? Yeah, and I honestly feel so bad for her, like, hearing about this prior marriage that she's had and then like jumping right into things with Andrew. It just feels like she's been so unlucky in love and is just grasping for anything that feels like love, whereas she doesn't even know completely what that means. Like, she wants to know what love is, and she Andrew's not the one to show her. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, especially she's coming from also from a single mom family, which I also think about, you know, generational trauma that we also have to go through and heal. So I feel like there's a lot of generational trauma that she needs to heal. Also, that she would have to want to heal that, as well as her own personal trauma to have to want to heal that. But you can't heal in an environment that makes you sick. It's just the truth. So you can't bring that poison back into your life and expect to thrive. So the other sign was playing a victim, which is what Andrew does throughout the entire time, right? He plays the victim. It's never his fault. He never takes ownership for his own shit, but he says sorry and he prays to God because God's just going to give him everything because he asked for it. Which obviously it doesn't work that way. Right.
When he went out of that therapist appointment, or like, yeah, when he like stepped out of the office and he just went down on those knees and he started praying, I was like, he's an actor. At the end of the day, like, you have to remember, this boy's an actor. So he is trying to have a perception of him put out there.
I was like, what are you, if you're not praying for a change of heart in yourself, get up off your knees. Because you should not be praying for her to take you back if you haven't made any changes. Like, you better be praying that God works on your heart, not, oh God, make Kelly take me back. Like, that's all that I want. Don't barter with God when you're not willing to do the work.
Ooh, that's a word.
Exactly. Preach it, girl. So true. And that triggered me the most because, you know, as you guys may or may not know, like, I'm also an interfaith ordained minister. So I started talking to God. I'm like, is he really doing this? And I swear that I heard God. I was like, girl, yeah, he's trying, but he ain't getting it. Because it was just, I was like, I can't believe it. Like, this is just bullshit. Like, ask and you shall receive. Like, no, bro. or it was his Hallmark sayings, send it and it will come back to you. Bullshit. Like, I couldn't.
Yeah, he was saying stuff like, if you love something, let it go. If it's meant to be, it'll come back to you.
Yeah. I was like,
that's not
okay.
How this works.
I was like, okay, Marcus Houston. That's literally Marcus Houston lyrics. That's Circle by Marcus Houston. Look it up. It's there. I'm like, what is he doing?
And not only that, like, he wasn't letting her go. She left. Like, it's important to note the distinction between I'm going to let you go and be free and, like, I'm leaving you because you're not good for me. There's a difference.
Yeah. It was horrible acting at it as well. I just have to say I'm sorry. It was just bad acting because it was just so overly dramatic. It was, like, worse than a telenovela. I'm like, I've seen better acting on telenovelas. And I was just like, no, it doesn't work that way. Like, maybe that's what he thinks love is because that's all he knows is telenovela and acting bullshit, but no. And, you know, unfortunately, he probably didn't have that positive example of a healthy relationship because whatever family issues with his parents were, that also plays an effect. But I Googled this. He turns 34 tomorrow. So you're 30 years old, honey. You can take ownership for your own bullshit and figure it out, right?
Not you being in your mid-30s and acting like this.
Yeah,
you've
girl.
You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me.
I mean, as long if Wikipedia is right, February 4th is his birthday and we're recording on February 3rd. And I was like, oh, no.
Well, you know what they say about Wikipedia, you know? You can't trust the sources, so I guess we'll see on
so allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah, I'm going to wait, look for that post tomorrow. Happy birthday to my love.
But I think what you said, Maria, like, resonates with a conversation that Sangay and I had with one of our friends, actually, where he was, like, chatting about, you know, wanting to be in a relationship, and the reason why he said it was so that he was like, oh, I recognize I have flaws. I want, like, somebody to come in and, like, fix those for me. And Sangay and I both were like, we're going to pause you right there, and we're going to say that that's not the job of your partner. You got to work on those things by yourself before you enter a relationship, or during the relationship, but not that your partner has to do all of the work for you. And so I feel like Andrew's doing that where it's like, oh, I have all of this like trauma and stuff, which is true. That's fine. But like you're taking it out. Yeah. You're like taking it out on her. And that's not okay. That's the part that's not okay.
Yeah. Newsflash to all the men and women, because there are toxic women as well. Mm. We are not your therapist. Your partner is not your therapist. You have to do your own work, your own shadow work. And your friends aren't your therapist, even if they are a therapist. No.
Even if they are a licensed therapist. No, 100%.
Exactly. I get it. Just no, even if they are, because that's not their job. Your partner, you know, their job, you're coming into it with the understanding that this is a relationship, we're a team. But you have, each individually have work to do. So this is what I always tell my employees, you know, trying to bring up teamwork, is that what you do and don't do as an individual will affect the team as a whole, not just yourself. So what you do and you don't do as an individual, as a person, will affect the relationship. So if you're not owning up to your bullshit, if you're not, you know, doing what you need to do, your own shadow work, your own therapy, your own healing, you can't expect that other person to do that, right? That other person is not responsible for your happiness. So the other third sign was stirring up conflict, which is what he did when he overheard the girls talking about him, right? He could have just let that slide. So it was just girl talk. Like, they have all the right to ask about it because they witnessed it.
It's like a couple of things though, but Alicia, I think you were like ready to say something. So go ahead and say it.
No, it was like one of those things where I'm just like exasperated by him, you know? So go ahead, do your thing while I'm like forming this thought.
I think it's a few things. I think, like, yeah, he could have let it slide, but we know that Andrew's not the bigger person. So he I don't think emotionally is capable of letting things just go. I do think that he could have handled it way better. Like, if you are genuinely that upset by somebody saying stuff about you in public, like, pull them aside and say, hey, I'm not down with this. Like, I'm telling you now in a polite, respectful way because I don't want things to get out of hand. I'm hearing what you're saying. It's not making me feel good about myself. I'm asking you to stop. And if you wanted to talk to me about something that you overheard about me, like, here's my number. You know how to get a hold of me. But, like, you don't need to make it a big thing. It doesn't need to become that at all.
Yeah, because I also think, like, his reaction to it, I mean, you know, she was right. Like, this was a situation where Anna was also involved. So, like, the stories that she shares is going to be on her own. Like, I just am so exhausted by him, like, where he wants to act like he's super calm, cool, collected, and that's just not how he is. And I think I would respect him a lot more if he just admitted that, like, he just was unhinged, but he just doesn't do that, which is terrifying.
Yeah, he just says, I'm sorry, with, like, the most flattest affect ever, which means shit, which just brings me to the next sign, which is lack of empathy. You know, she was literally in tears right next to him in a therapy session, and he had the most flat affect on his face, wasn't even affected by it, but was still physically saying, I want her to be happy. Just bullshit, because you're not even reacting to her emotions right now. It was just super psychopathic, a little bit. It's a bit crazy. He has a little bit, I'm sorry, forgive me for saying cara de loco, because I can't, like, crazy face. Like, he just has a little bit of spark of crazy in him. Like, I could see him flipping, not just verbally. Like, I can see that happening. I can see it in his spirit, which is sad. Because he can be a talented person, and people do have the right to change, but you have to want to and actually do the work.
Yeah. And I think it's pretty evident about, like, his spirit, or, like, the way that he carries himself, because of, like, you don't see him in the group settings, right? Like, people don't invite him places. And then in the, like, where are they now that Sangay alluded to earlier, like, they don't have him in the group chat, right? So I'm like, there's reasons for these things. Even Jamie's in the group chat, she doesn't even talk, like, so like, and so you would rather have somebody that doesn't talk that you like, right, rather than have Andrew, because Andrew's a bad seed, nobody likes him. And so I think people's intuition is correct here. Like, I really do think that he doesn't have, like, a good energy about him.
Yeah, he doesn't pass the vibe check, like, period. He just doesn't pass the vibe check.
Exactly. You can feel someone's energy when they have good energy, or even just his energy is not healed. It's just really messed up. He's got a lot going on, and he really has to put in that work. Kane needs to teach him how to meditate. I love Kane. So, I mean, when I saw him meditate, I was like, oh my God, because I also learned the Buddhist form of meditation also. Guilt tripping, which he did a lot. He guilt tripped her all the time when he was asking, oh my God, he was asking her if she was dating, if he went out with anyone. Because obviously he knew that she went out with Kevin. So, I mean, he was making her feel guilty for that. And first of all, like, when you break up with someone, it's none of your business whether they go out with someone else or whether you go out with someone else. It's none of their business. So that was another form of control that he was really trying to put on her. And of course, the gaslighting. I mean, we all know what that is, making her feel like she was losing it when she really was losing it. And it was because of his actions and his words didn't match.
And that's what Kelly also says in that video, right? Like, she's like, I don't even know what gaslighting meant. And then I looked it up and
yes,
I was like, yikes. That's, I mean, of course, like, there's some learning that goes with, like, the terms and, like, all that stuff. But then, like, when people are sharing, like, I don't know, like, that many people that are sharing, like, you're being gaslit, you're being manipulative, like, manipulated, like, and this person's not good for you. It's just hard to see that there's so many people saying those things, and then she is still in the relationship. Like, things just don't add up.
She's, like, choosing not to hear it because she's not ready to hear it. And yeah, maybe she's not ready. Maybe they've been together for so long that that's something that she's like, I don't see myself without him, like, in relationship. Okay, you can, like, that can be true. And also, you have to, like, acknowledge that the people in your life are genuinely concerned for you, you know, and they want you to leave because of what they're seeing.
Yeah, exactly. I just saw also in the Bling Empire's Instagram page, in the comments, people were saying that Netflix should put in the phone number for domestic violence hotline, because, you know, that's what we all witnessed, right? They didn't even touch that. And I do know women friends who are in, till this day, still in those types of relationships, and it's just not going to get better until they are ready to take the leap and walk away. And, you know, the same thing, they tell me the same thing all the time. It's hard. But I mean, I think it would be harder to stay in the same type of situation. So, I mean, for me, I mean, I believe in that old Spanish saying, mejor sola que mal acompañada, right? So I'm better off alone than in bad company or in a bad relationship. I think they both need to take more than 6 months for themselves. You can't rush your healing. And that's a Trevor Hall song. I think they need to hear that. I think they need to listen to that. And people who are come off of a relationship or break up, I don't think people should be rushing into dating right away. Like, she decided to go on a date with Kevin. I think Kevin could have been a little bit smarter with that. He liked her, wanted to see if there were sparks.
Kevin,
it was too soon.
Something else. Kevin, I don't know if either of you watches This Is Us, but he reminded me of Kevin from This Is Us, who is also, like, this, like, good-looking guy who's, like, an actor and, like, all about his looks. And I don't know, it was just, like, Kevin the person, his personality reminded me of Kevin the character on This Is Us. Just an aside there, but yeah. He could have, like, read the situation a lot better. He, I think, was just trying really hard to get some, to be frank, because if it wasn't Kelly, we see at the end of the season, he's going after Kim and, like, alludes to that also in the Where Are They Now? So, Kevin, like, slow your roll. There are other women that you can go for. If you, like, really, if it's that bad, like, you can find somebody else, I'm sure.
My thing with Kevin is that, like, I think because he has this, like, he has the positive energy. He has, like, the opposite side of the spectrum, right? Where he can, like, get away with more shit. And so the things that he was doing was also toxic. Like,
yes.
Like, Kelly's in a relationship. End of story, right? If she's not comfortable with, like, hearing all of your, like, courting and, like, that's just not cool, dude. Like, you can't just be in her ear all the time being like, oh, so when are we going to get together? Like, what's going to happen? Like, and if you're framing it in the sense of like, oh, I see stuff happening. Like, I want to take care of you. Andrew's not the right person for you. That's not the way to go about it, because at the end of the day, it's just for your personal gain. Like, you just want to, you just want to fuck.
That was super shady of him. Like, the whole time is like, so You actually only care that she's in a relationship with Andrew because she's not in a relationship with you. That's ridiculous. That is so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And then he went to Anna with the Jeep man that they were back together.
I can't. And then how rude when Kelly's mom comes to visit or whatever, and him, she was like, oh, so like, what do you think about, like, you know, me and her getting together? And I'm like, she's in a relationship currently. Like, that's just way out of pocket.
I know. So much of that show felt scripted that it made me wonder, like, how much the producers were telling each person, like, oh, you should say this, or, like, drop a hint about this. Because it just seems so wild and outrageous. Like, to me, I would never think to say something like that if I know someone's in a relationship, even if I think that person's cute and I want to be with them. Like, I would never say something like that in front of them, around them. And then to as we continue jumping on Kevin, when it was he and Kane and Andrew were out at lunch together, and they bring up, oh, Kelly said something about, like, wanting more anal, and you're not giving,
I think that was
anal.
Kane. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, y'all, read the room. Like, you already know. We all already know about what happened in Paris. So we know Andrew's character. How do you think that he's going to respond to hearing this from you? Not just to you, but to this person, Kelly, who you supposedly care about. Like, think before you act. And this is not... That's one time when Kevin and Kane should have thought before they acted. And the second time is when they try to find Kim's birth father. Which is, like, so messed up.
Yeah, I understand they're, like, with the whole Kim and finding her dad. I understand the trying to do well, but that was major.
And then, because it was interesting, right, because I started watching, so for context, Maria, I don't really watch television, okay? So when I heard about Bling Empire and me watching it, I was like, okay, I know that this Andrew person is a bad person. But then, you know, the first episode, I was like, yes, he is a bad person. And then I think it was later in that episode or the next episode after was the whole anal discussion. And I was just like, y'all are feeding the flame. Like, you are legitimately, and then I was like, I feel bad for Andrew because, like, how is he supposed to react when people are talking about his business like that, you know? So then I'm like, dang, do I see two sides of the coin here? Am I team Andrew? But then I was like, oh, no, I'm not. So I was just like, come on, man. Like, this is, like, to Sanjay's point, I'm like, I know that this is a television show, but, like, you're messing with people's lives at the end of the day. And, like, that's what's, like, frustrating about, like, I think reality TV or scripted television or whatever, because, like, you're... After the show, there's effects. There's long-lasting effects. I'm going to not think about Bling Empire maybe next week, honestly, at the earliest, right? And, like, but this is going to, like, people are going to continue to watch it, going to watch for the first time. Comments on Instagram are going to happen. So it's just, I don't think that people take that into consideration. Or if they do, it's just, like, a business, which is sad because it's related on people's destruction.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. So, no, I think they did it because they just don't like Andrew. I just, you know, I honestly, once that they all found out that they were broken up when they were at that party for Kevin, it was like a collective exhale. If I don't know if anyone knows, it was like a collective, like, oh, thank God we don't have to deal with him type of feeling. And I, you know, obviously they're not either, and he's not in the group chat because they don't want you. I mean, just take a sign, buddy. Like, you need to walk away. Why stay in somewhere where you're not wanted or even respected?
I'll tell you why. Every reality show needs a villain, and Andrew has to be the villain on this show. He has to stay. True. Because without him, like, let's, like, walk back to the beginning of the show. Without Andrew, there isn't drama, unless you count Christine and Anna.
I was just about to say, Christine's the villain.
But theirs is, like, so petty. It's so petty that you can't even be like, oh, no, like, they're really... And they both admit it. Like, oh, I just like messing with her. Like, it's no real hard feelings. Like, I just like to, like, poke the bear, if you will. True. But, like, without Andrew, there's no real villain in this entire season. So I think they needed him for that extra drama. Because otherwise it would just be us watching some rich people live their lives, which, like, I'm not opposed to. But after a while, it's like, I get it. You have more money than me, and you just spend your money on any and everything that you want, you know?
And that show's already been done, right? Where you see rich people living their lives, and that's the substance of it all.
Been there, done that.
Exactly.
Give me more.
No, you're right. I hear you.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, there is a little bit of conflict also with Christine and Dr. Chu, and deciding on, you know, whether to have another child or not, which is, you know, I think that's a little bit of a conflict. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm team Anna. I'm sorry. I love Christine, but I am team Anna all the way. Pump gate and all. So I thought,
thing, what? Oh my goodness, that was absurd.
That was a thing where I was like, okay, this is definitely fed by producers, because like that's just, you have to go through so many steps to go into somebody's room, then to their bathroom, then to their shower, and then I would, even if I saw a penis pump in my friend's shower, I'm not touching it. I'm just gonna look at it, observe, make jokes, scream, do all the things, and then keep it moving. Like, there's no way I'm putting my hands on that.
And then why was the first thought, after they elected to touch it, like, you made the decision to take it out of the shower, and then you're like, ew, oh my gosh, gross, throw it outside, then don't touch it. Like, if you're gonna be, oh, right? It's wet. Yeah, it's in a shower. Like, what do you think? When you take a shower, it stays dry? Like, I don't of course it's going to be wet. Like, what the heck? And yeah, that was definitely producer manufactured. Absolutely.
And then for them to throw it out the window and it to be right next to, like, the masseuse table, I'm like, oh, so you all got that kind of aim? Okay.
That was the producers for sure. It had to be, because no other way. And I think, honestly, it just comes back to, oh, we need some drama, right? So, like, first they make Guy and Kim do that, and then Kevin, deeply offended on behalf of Anna, is like, what were you raised by, wolves, to Kim, which results in our first drink being thrown, which is great. I mean, it's not a reality TV show unless there's a drink thrown, right?
It's true. It's so true. I mean, it was hilarious. Like, when I first saw it, and when I first saw Guy take the pump, I literally, first I thought it was like a shower plunger because it was so huge. I'm like, is that a shower plunger? Maybe, and it has long hair. That's what I was thinking. Maybe it's not a pump. But yeah, and then it just also proves that bowling helps everything go well, and everyone forgives each other over a game of bowling, I guess.
That's all it takes. Meet me down by the bowling alley. That's where I like to resolve conflict.
I was so weak when Jamie rolls up in her, like, little, like, monitor thing. I was like, what are you? She's like, this is the outfit I go bowling in. I am obsessed. And then Kim brings out the glove. Oh, she is so cute. I followed her immediately on Instagram because I was like, I just want to see you do fashion things. That's it.
She's adorable.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But why I'm also team Anna is because she shows up to the bowling alley and she puts on bowling shoes, and I'm like, I respect that, because yes, she's rich, and like, yes, she like can do all these things that rich people do, but she's like, I can wear bowling shoes. Like, literally everybody else wears bowling shoes, and I was like, that's my girl, I like her.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
As well, she still has that humbleness. Like, yeah, she seems to be like the most down to earth of the rest of them. And I don't know the story of how she entered into wealth, so maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe she's just had more, like, lived experiences in our world than the others have, besides Kevin, who never ceases to, like, he's always reminding us that he's poor. And I'm like, Kevin, babe, you can afford rent in LA. Like, you're not as poor as you think you are. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah, and if they're like hanging out with each other, he can't be that poor. You know what I mean? Like,
like, how did you get into the circle, Kevin? Okay, got it. Okay. That's it. You were invited on one of those shopping trips, weren't you? Admit it.
Exactly. I mean, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, Anna. So in the beginning, Kane says that Anna's dad had a company that made weapons, and the weapons were sold to the U.S. So I obviously did my Google research and saw that it was I think it was after he passed, Anna and her brother sold the company. So that's what they're living on. But she probably has other stuff going on too, but that's pretty much dad was selling, making the guns. But I don't really watch, also Alicia watch TV, but I just happened to like need mindless viewing and it came across this and now I'm hooked. So now that I'm just like ready for season two, because I'm like, it's a pandemic. I need to know what other people are doing. Obviously I can't go on my private jet whenever I want to right now.
I mean, yeah, the way that the pandemic is set up, like, I just don't think it's safe to travel in my private jet, so I'm just gonna like let it be in the port for a little bit. Absolutely not. But I think I'm down. I mean, I'm definitely down for another season. Like, I think I'm invested enough to be like, oh yeah, like I definitely want to see what's happening next. Because like they are rich, yeah, but like there's not like the snotty rich in them that would turn me away. Like, I do find myself wanting to be friends with them. And so I think that's what's like endearing about this show.
Yeah. And then I'm curious to know if I feel like they have to produce a season two. And I know that other reality TV shows, like all of the Housewives franchises, are currently filming during COVID and still putting out new episodes. So I know that there is a way to do it. And so I'm curious to know if Netflix, now seeing how well received this was, will start putting it into production for a second season.
Yeah, that's a good, that's good to know, because I did see that they did all, not too recently, sometime this week, they all tested and got together to celebrate the success of the first season. So hopefully, who was it? I don't remember what episode or where I started, because I also follow them. When they go on Instagram Live, I'm on it immediately. Like, I stop what I'm doing. I don't know if it was an IG Live or somewhere, some interview, but they said that the decision is coming in the next couple of weeks. So we should be knowing soon, I think.
Maria, you're hooked. I love this. Hooked. I see the sparkle in your eyes.
I have never been this hooked. Maybe it's because the pandemic has me like locked up in the cave where I have no access to, like, I guess just to see how other people are living. Maybe that's it. But I would love to be friends with them. It's probably especially Kane, because I think we would connect. Not just on shopping. I mean, he would have to shop at Target with me, but on the whole Buddhism thing too, because I studied that a long time ago. But yeah, it was good. This was great talk. Good chat.
Absolutely. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thank you, Maria.
Yeah, thank you. So tell everyone about your podcast, It's Pronounced, where they can find you guys, how they can listen, and all that.
Yeah, so our podcast is called It's Pronounced Podcast. You can listen to us on all the platforms. We basically come together weekly and talk about a whole myriad of things. So you might hear us talking about just like our lives, like what's happening in our lives. Sometimes we talk about things that we're watching, things that we're reading, things that are trending. And then, of course, we like to do the occasional interview where we bring on other cool people and ask them a million questions about what they do, and why they do it and why they love it. So that's us in a nutshell.
Yeah, and we have a great time doing it. Like, you'll hear us. We call ourselves an imperfect production because that's very much what we are. We're just two friends talking about really great things and asking lots of people some questions. And so if you're interested in following us, you can go ahead and hit us up on Instagram. My handle is at Alicia Olivas, and Sangay's handle is at Sangay Nicole. And we're also on Twitter at Pronounced Pod. So feel free to hit us up on there. We like talking to people.
We really do. It's fun.
It's so much fun. I love this. This was great. So thank you guys for being here. This was amazing. Thank everyone for listening. Until next time.
All right, let's move on to the tarot message of the week. This week's tarot message of the week is the World card. This is a major arcana card. I'll have a picture of it on my Instagram. So this week, you know, this card is all about completion. It represents the end of one thing, but the beginning of another thing. And it's very fitting because we just had a new moon and a lot of us celebrated the Lunar New Year. So happy Lunar New Year to those who celebrate. And, you know, there will be reward for our hard work coming. But it's also a reminder that there are future hurdles to come. So keep going forward. Enjoy the reaps of your hard work. Enjoy the rewards. Celebrate, but keep in mind and prepare for the next hurdle. And that is the message of the week. Thank you so much for listening, Sobrinos. Please remember to follow on Instagram and Facebook at Café y Consejos Podcast. Every Saturday, I host a free meditation session on Instagram Live, so make sure to check out for that. You can also buy a Thea cup of coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TiaMaria. And as always, remember, tu tia loves you, siempre pa'lante, y portate bien.